Our gospel lesson today picks up exactly where we left off last week in John chapter 5. We ended up at verse 8, so we'll commence at verse 9 through verse 17, which you'll find on page 109 in the New Testament section of your pew Bibles. I encourage you to follow along. Let's stand for the gospel lesson. John 15, 9 through 17. Jesus says here, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, than to lay one's life for one's friend. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you to go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another." This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. Now today, as you know, we want to honor our moms, and I know that not everybody can be a mom. Especially use guys out there for obvious reasons. But still, as Madeline said today, everyone at some time has had a mom, if not at conception alone. We've all had moms, and at one point in our life, maybe many points, maybe most points, they have been the most important person in our lives. And many of our moms were very, very sacrificial. I know mine was. So we are proudly grateful and profoundly grateful for the role that moms have played in our lives to make us the people we are today. And we do that knowing that it's not easy being a mom. I came across on the internet, for example, some possible statements made by mothers of famous people. For example, the mother of Mona Lisa supposedly said, "You know, Lisa, you know, in light of all the money your father and I spent on braces, the least you could do is smile a little bit." So that sorry little smirk, right? Or how about the mother of Columbus? "Chris, I know you discovered something, but couldn't you write? Couldn't you at least write, huh? Maybe a phone call?" Or how about Michelangelo's mother? "Mick, you know, can't you just draw on the walls like other kids? Do you know how hard it is to get the stuff off the ceiling? What is it with ceilings in you?" So it's never easy being a mom. It was the late, great Irma Bombeck who once said, "What mother has never fallen on her knees in her son's bedroom and prayed to God, 'God, please, no more. You said that you'd only give us as much as we could handle.' And we're way beyond that, right? We've been there, done that. So moms, we are grateful for all of your good work. I certainly experienced this anew this last week as Christy and I last Sunday went up to Florida to help move her mom from a rehab center to home as she broke her pelvis a couple weeks ago in four places. And, you know, it's interesting, maybe some of you have experienced this already, that as our parents age, the whole parent-child relationship sometimes gets reversed. As they start to become more and more dependent upon us, we become the parent and they become the child. In a sense, that's kind of happened in this situation. Well, I went up there to give all of my support that I could, you know, 24/7, whatever is needed, I'm going to be there to help. And I was good for about 36 hours, maybe 40 hours if you count sleeping. But then after a couple of days, I'm like, you know what? I need a break. I need to do something else. I need to go play tennis or something. But not Christy. I mean, she just, her capacity to love is so much greater than mine. I mean, she was just so consistent. And it's not simply because it's her mom and not mine. It's more because it was the mom in her that kicked in and was so caring. And I saw that anew. I mean, guys, let's face it. Let's face it. Let's be honest here this morning. We're in church. If it were up to us for the survival of the human race, we would be in trouble. Why? A, because in order for the human race to be here, they'd have to come into this world, which would mean you and I, if it depended on us, would have to bring in these kids into the world through great labor pains. Not happening. It wouldn't happen, would it? We'd invent something, right, Claude? Something else. There's got to be another way. Or secondly, all the nurturing that has to take place in the middle of the night when it's convenient and you go in and they throw up all over you. Kids, you'd be on your own. You just have to survive, right? I mean, let's admit it. There is something special about a mother's love. And we celebrate that today. Now, I always find it interesting whenever Mother's Day falls on the Sunday, in which our lectionary reading is from John chapter 15, verse 9. It's ironic. Why? Because what does that verse say? As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. Now, I think you and I are mature enough, spiritually speaking, to know that God does not have a gender. He is neither male nor female. He is spirit. Right? Therefore, I think we can take liberties of any day. I think we could take liberties today to retranslate this text to say, as my mother has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. I keep my commandments, and you will remain in my love just as I have kept my mom's commands and remain in her love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this. Love each other how? As I have loved you. So let's begin there. We love, why? Because God first loved us. In other words, God took the initiative. God took the first step. That's what Jesus is saying here, right? Now, as an aside, higher critical scholars for decades, even a century or so now, have been critical of the New Testament and have said that the teachings of Jesus are so different from the teachings of the Apostle Paul that what these higher critical scholars say is that the Apostle Paul essentially invented Christianity. I mean, his teachings are so different from Jesus, he essentially created Christianity, not Jesus. And many higher critical scholars believe that. However, John Piper has recently published a book that refutes that argument, for he has gone through the Gospels verse by verse very carefully and sifted through each of them and found where each verse corresponds with the teachings of Paul. And the correspondence is overwhelming, and it becomes very clear that Paul is not inventing Christianity, but Paul is merely echoing the teachings of Jesus. Case in point is our text today in this verse where we read, if I can find it here, where Jesus says that God has taken the first step, the first initiative. Is that not grace? That's why we love, because he loved us, because of his grace that he showed unto us. We respond to that grace. We don't choose him, he chooses us. Paul didn't invent that. He merely echoes what Jesus says here. So we love because he first loved us. That's the first thing we need to see. The second thing that we need to see here is the nature of this love that Jesus talks about. And to help us discover the true nature of this love, let me ask you if you can remember the context of these teachings here in John chapters 13 through 17. Where were Jesus and the disciples when Jesus was giving these teachings? I'll give you a little hint. In John 13, 34, Jesus says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you might love one another just as I have loved you." Now, as I've told you before, the word for command in Spanish, of course, is mandar, where we get our English word Monday or Monday Thursday. And the reason we call it Monday Thursday, because that is the occasion in which Jesus gave his new commandment. And what was the context of that? When do we celebrate Monday Thursday? What's happening here in chapters 13 through 17? Where are the disciples? They're in the upper room, are they not? This is the upper room discourse, chapters 13 through 17. This is the eve of Jesus' crucifixion. And all of these teachings here in these chapters are interrelated at the same occasion. And they all fit together, don't they? So of all these teachings, the question is, what's so new about this command? What's so unique about this new commandment? Let me ask you another question. Those of you from New York, I'm going to ask you another question. When Jesus was asked what were the two greatest commandments of all the 613 commandments in the Old Testament, Jesus said the top two are what? Love the Lord your God, what? With all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself, the so-called golden rule, correct? Those are the two great commandments of the Old Testament, right? But as great as those two commandments are, they are nothing, nothing, nothing compared to the new commandment that Jesus gives us here in the New Testament. And what is this new commandment? Is it to love with all of our pitifully limited self-centered strength and myopic vision and double mind and fickle heart? No. Is it simply to love others as we love ourselves? No. Why? Because obviously some people are not very good at loving themselves, are they? I mean, how many people essentially go through life committing suicide, either slow suicide or immediate suicide? Slow suicide through the abuse of drugs or alcohol, or illicit sex, or unhealthy habits, or people who just put a gun to their head and end it all. Is that a very high standard of love? If you think about it, not really. But check out this new commandment, the new gold standard. What is it? How are we to love? What is the standard now? As Jesus loves us. That's it. Did you get that? Did you hear that? You can't love more than that. That is the new gold standard. That's what Jesus is telling us in these chapters, including our text today. That's what Jesus says here in verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another. How? As I have loved you. You see the difference? You see the new and improved standard of what it means to love others as Jesus loves us. You see, our human love is always conditional or transient or selective, isn't it? Now, today we may love someone because he or she is simply lovable, or because they act lovable toward us. But when they cease to be lovable and when they cease loving us, then we cease loving them, right? And love turns to hate. And we see that in divorce settlements all the time, don't we? When divorces get so ugly. Why? These are two people that were in love. These are two people who saw nothing in the other person but good and wonderful. And yet now they have nothing but hate and contempt for one another. That's human love. Or just as damning, we often love people who are just like us, people who have our background, our status, who speak our language, our values, people from Ohio, for example. We like those kind of people. They're like us. They're easy to love. Or people who are talented, people who are educated, people who are the beautiful people, people who are cool, people who are popular. Oh, we love those people, sure. But Jesus' love, on the other hand, is for all people. Even people not like him, people who are not lovable, people like you and me. And his love is sacrificial. Jesus says there's no greater love than this, than that a man would lay his life down for another. That's the real rubber meets the road kind of love. Read about a young lady who was a writer for a magazine. And her editor called her in and asked her to write a little poem about love. And the editor said, "Tell me what your conception of love is." And she said, Well, it's kind of like this. It's a moonlit night, and you and your beloved are on the shores of a wonderful lily pond, and the lilies are blossoming, metaphoric of my blossoming love for my beloved." He said, Stop. That's not love. That's not love. Love is getting out of a warm bed on a cold winter night and going and getting a hot water bottle so that you can care for your crying child. That's love. That's the voice of experience, isn't it? That's the voice of a mother. Am I right? And on this Mother's Day, I think that leads us to the last thing that we need to see here about how we are to love and the standard by which we are to love, and that is we are to love others even as we parents, those of us who are parents, love our children. Now, I say that knowing that there are many, many, many sad cases in the world of parents who surprisingly do not love their children, do not care for their children, do not nurture their children. They actually abuse their children and are criminal toward their children. And there are people like that. We know that. But I would argue that that is the exception rather than the rule, because let's face it, as bad as we human beings are, as fallen as we are from grace, our parental love for our children is so great, it's so instinctual, it's so powerful, that sometimes it even surprises us. Am I not right? I mean, let me ask you parents out there, you who are parents, if you had to make a choice, if you had to be God for a moment, and you had one of two choices to make, here are the choices. Either you contract and suffer and die of cancer, or your child contracts and suffers and dies from cancer. You can choose one or the other. Which would you choose? You'd choose yourself, wouldn't you? Of course you would. Without a second thought, you would much rather die than to watch them die, wouldn't you? All right, put it this way. What would you rather do? Suffer a horrible auto accident out here on Route 22 and be maimed for life, or have your child suffer a horrendous accident and be maimed for life? It's a no-brainer. Take me, Lord. I would rather suffer and die than watch my children suffer and die. Right? Why? Because this is one instance in our lives when we actually love someone more than we love ourselves. It's something instinctual. It's something God-given. And unless the person is perverse, it is almost universal. Right? Brian Chappell writes a book called In His Grace. He talks about a Sunday back in August 1987. Northwest Flight 225 left Detroit International Airport. And after just a few minutes, airborne, crash landed on a highway. 155 people were killed instantly. No one survived. No one. Not the pilots, not the passengers, not the flight attendants. No one. Except one person. A 4-year-old little girl from Tempe, Arizona, named Cecilia. When the rescuers found Cecilia, they assumed that she was in one of the cars that had suffered wreckage from the crashed plane. But when they checked the passenger list, lo and behold, there she was named. How did this little 4-year-old girl survive when 155 people died instantly? You know how? As the plane was going down, her mother, who was seated beside her, took off her own seatbelt and got on her knees in front of her daughter and wrapped her arms and body around her and would not let go, and served as a human shield and saved her daughter. True story. Wow. Doesn't that sound like a metaphor of Jesus' love for us? That he is willing to wrap his arms around us and refuse to let go, even though he dies in the process. Isn't that what love really is? You see, the golden rule is insufficient for the parent-child relationship. We can't just love our children as we love ourselves. We must love them more than we love ourselves. And God's command to us, the new command given to us in the New Testament, is to go out into that world and know that we must love the children of God that God is calling through us more than we love ourselves. That's the new standard of love. That's the new commandment. That's what we're called to do. So I say to you folks, the worship time is just about over, but the service is just now beginning. Let's do it. Lord, thank you Thank you for revealing to us the only way to truly live, to live according to your golden standard, of your example given to us, to live according to the way that you wired us and built us as parents and showed us through laying down your life that we are to actually love others more than we even love ourselves. Lord, give us the boldness to try that, to do that, to be that this day, this week, in the days ahead, by your power and by your grace. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.